What's good, everyone? Welcome to Monday Iron Radio again. I'm Rafi, and this is part two now that the CDC claims are out of the way and we have some more context for it. Again, this video is even longer. So if you have stuff to do today, the audio version is on Spotify, and there will be the video uploaded to Spotify as well in case you need to pop in for some visuals. I'll try to let you know if I think about it in the video. So right now we're going over the timeline of the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, and the tomfoolery that has followed. So what I want to do today is look at all the things that the Monday Iron Gang and others have pointed out, from FEMA's lack of response, the lack of a government response in general, and the medical bracelets that were conveniently introduced weeks before the accident. There's a lot going on here. It's all just very strange. Like, what incentive do government agencies, including the highest levels like the Secretary of Transportation Pete and our president, have to just ignore this and deny aid while we're blowing a ton of money on places that aren't us? It's also weird because this happened on February 3rd, and no one really heard anything about it until about 1 to 2 weeks later. Even mainstream media wasn't covering it when the internet started buzzing about it. Like, you've heard some blips here and there, but I feel like it'd be big news. So, media silent, government agencies that should have been taking care of this were silent, the president's basically ignoring it, and as I'm filming this right now, he's actually in Ukraine. It's just weird. So I'm going to go over the timeline and I'm going to see if I can make any sense of this. I'd also like to say that while this isn't fitness news, it is related to health, and this is also in my home state of Ohio. But before I even go into the timeline starting in February, something in October in East Palestine has come to light recently. The medical ID bracelets that are conveniently now ready for East Palestine residents to use from my ID. So if we extend the timeline, we see that in October 2022, the East Palestine Fire Department made a deal with my ID to supply citizens with medical devices that can pull up all of your medical info with the scan of a QR code, available as a bracelet, key fob, or watch band attachment. There's a 3-year plan to get my ID going across the village and make it available to all 4,700 residents, according to this article from October 17th, 2022. And now, this news is being brought back up because, coincidentally, on January 26th, the My ID program was ready to roll out in East Palestine. Good timing. So here is My ID's product demo explanation that they have on their YouTube right now.
For years, MyID has been innovating and evolving the way you manage your healthcare information. Now, MyID is more durable and accessible than ever before. Introducing the MyID Pod. The MyID Pod is made of laser-engraved anodized aluminum, giving a high-resolution QR code that's built to last. Like other MyID products, it contains access points to your online profile. The MyID Pod is thin and comfortable and can interchangeably be placed in a bracelet, necklace, or keychain.
So, obviously after seeing that, alarm bells, red flag, mark of the beast, tracking that whole thing. But at the moment, it's just bracelets. They're not digital at all. It's just a QR code printed on aluminum. This is printed on aluminum, so it's not going to like rub off or anything when you need it most. So it's not like the tracker chip that the headlines make it out to be, but I'm sure digital wearable devices are on the roadmap for them, just trying to get us used to the idea. Much like Bitcoin, just trying to get us used to the idea of a digital dollar so they can shut off your bank if you think too much or if you're Canadian. Aside from that, here's the timeline of events. I adjusted this to include the CDC revisions that I mentioned in the previous video. Go back and watch that video if you're not familiar with all that, because it's not what it seemed like. Still bad though. So January 2023, the CDC updates the toxicological profile of vinyl chloride for the first time since July 2006. February 3rd through 4th, the train carrying the toxic chemicals derails in a fiery crash in Ohio. 100 cars total, 50 cars derailed, 20 to 50 were carrying toxic chemicals, and 14 of the 20 were carrying vinyl chloride. Residents were told to evacuate after this crash. And that's all via AP News. February 6th, crews released toxic chemicals from derailed tankers via controlled burn. During this time, officials claimed no concerning readings of air quality. February 8th, residents were concerned about the health risks from toxic chemicals lingering in their neighborhoods, rightfully so. Also February 8th, the East Palestine residents were told they could safely return home. And then sometime between February 8th and 13th, and this is what I mentioned in the CDC video that I just mentioned, that is when the CDC removed the risk to children and the harmful VC amounts from the front page of the ATSDR website, which has the frequently asked questions about vinyl chloride. And then February 16th, FEMA continues to tell Governor DeWine that Ohio is not eligible for assistance. And then also February 16th, word spread that residents could directly voice concerns to Norfolk Southern at East Palestine High School. Norfolk Southern is the company that is responsible for this mess. But at the last minute, the mayor had to inform the Pack Gymnasium that Norfolk Southern backed out of the meeting completely. So residents could no longer ask questions. Cowards. They said they were like they said they were concerned for the employee safety, which I understand that. But they didn't even say, oh, we can make it via Zoom. Like, at least with Zoom, if someone asks a hard question, you can be like, oh, sorry, it's breaking out. Gotta go. No, complete fucking cowards. So February 17th, FEMA reverses course, and they decide they will send the assistance team to East Palestine following train derailment. So I already explained the CDC changes in the previous video. Again, watch that. Come back to this. So that's the timeline, but what are the actual issues here? So the problems, the control burn that they did released phosgene in the air. Phosgene is a highly toxic gas that can cause vomiting and breathing trouble. And fun fact, it was actually used as a weapon in World War I. Since the burning of these chemicals, reports continue to come in of dead fish and animals dying suddenly. But government agencies have been maintaining, and I believe they still maintain, that everything's cool. Drink the water, trust the government, everything's fine. Oh, and you want FEMA to help? Get fucked. When Ohio requested assistance from FEMA, they were denied because they did not meet the eligibility threshold. So in response, Ohio representatives requested a detailed response as to why we didn't qualify for their assistance. And Governor DeWine's office was told that it was because, in part, due to the lack of damage to residential properties and because Norfolk Southern had agreed to pay some expenses. So to be fair, there probably is some merit to FEMA's reasoning that they're mostly involved in stuff like tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, where there's a lot of physical damage, like they said. However, to outright say, nah, not our problem, threshold wasn't reached, sorry, is ridiculous. But they reversed course after a certain someone was going to visit Ohio, or so it seems. And I can also see how the following reasoning makes sense. So this is what a rep said. The state needed help testing the water in the air. EPA is providing it. They called for an investigation into the derailment. The Department of Transportation, DOT, is on it. The governor asked for help to conduct additional public health testing and assessments. We're deploying teams from Health and Human Services and the CDC to get that done. That was from a Biden official to Fox News. Now, that ignores the response time, the lack of coverage, and the general downplaying of the situation from everybody, but fair enough. Also not sure if this is related at all to FEMA's response, but our boy Donnie said that he was going to visit East Palestine. Shortly after that news, that was when FEMA reversed course and said, hey, never mind, we'll send help, don't worry about it, we gotcha. And the White House put out in a statement of their own, the Biden-Harris administration has mobilized a robust multi-agency effort to support the people of East Palestine, Ohio. But regardless of what they're doing now, FEMA just now decided to help. This is 3 weeks after all this shit happened, and the EPA is already testing, like you asked for it. They said the air and water are fine, as animals are still dropping dead, and fish and frogs are still just, like, chilling in the river, dead. So don't act like you've been on top of this entire thing the whole time, and don't act like it's under control, because it's clearly not. It's insanity. Aside from that, there were reports that Norfolk Southern, the responsible railroad company, is going around having people sign hold harmless waivers in exchange for testing air and water in their homes. So, based on the headline, looks terrible. Why would anyone sign this waiver of this guy that comes to their house and says, hey, here's a hold harmless thing, let me test this stuff. Here's what the waiver looks like. So, this is posted to Reddit, and you had some commenters saying, I'm a lawyer, and the hold harmless term only applies to what's happening at the testing site, nothing outside of it. Now, they might actually be lawyers, but don't ever take comments like that at face value. Just assume everyone's full of shit. So, I read it again myself. Landowner agrees to indemnify, release, and hold harmless unified command from and against any and all legal claims, including for personal injury, property damage arising from monitoring team's performance of air monitoring or the environmental sampling at the property on the date of the signature below. So based on that, I think the Reddit lawyers are right. It says protection from anything arising from the team's performance of air monitoring or environmental sampling at the property. I didn't see how that could be twisted to Norfolk Southern's favor after reading it a couple times. And then I realized it said unified command. So I looked up what that was. And my initial thought was that Norfolk Southern contracted some company to send people out door to door to do their dirty work, but I was wrong. So when multiple government agencies have to coordinate on a situation like EPA, CDC, and now FEMA, thanks guys, they use an approach called the Incident Command System, ICS, which basically guides all of these moving parts to make sure that everyone's working off the same information. And Unified Command, which is the party named in the waiver that's actually doing the testing, is an application of ICS, so it's an extension of it. So these guys are trying to gather data and make it available for all the agencies involved, rather than like the CDC and EPA going and doing their own individual testing and having to get all that same information separately. So this is normal, but I can see why people wouldn't sign it. Even if it seems clear that they do not represent Norfolk Southern in the slightest, I probably wouldn't even trust it even after Googling. Like, I know my water's bad, I know my air is bad, I don't need you to tell me that. get out of my house. So while this isn't Norfolk Southern's doing, Norfolk is offering $1,000 inconvenience checks to residents. This is after they offered $25,000 to the whole village, which is $5 per person, according to Unusual Wales, initially. And because of this, an attorney warned against residents accepting these checks because he thinks Norfolk might be trying to limit future claims in the inevitable future lawsuit. A Norfolk Southern spokesman said that's not the case, but this attorney, Michael O'Shea, said that he wants a crystal clear written agreement from Norfolk Southern that these payments do not limit future claims. Again, understandable. I wouldn't trust a word these guys say either. So the more I dig into this, it feels like I'm diffusing the headlines, which is good because the media model is to get clicks. Even with what I do, I have to watch it because I have to make things and headlines interesting so that people actually read it. But I have to walk that fine line to make sure that I'm not trying to bait people. Because most everything in the headlines so far has an explanation that's unfortunately not an elaborate joint government, company, World Economic Forum plot that's being exposed here. But then you've got like the Detroit derailing, Arizona nitric acid spill, a lot of weird stuff going on. Aside from all the egg stuff that's been happening, you know, it's just wild stuff. And the only real incentive I can think of for like a government trying to like protect itself is really service level, like just a normal current administration doesn't want to look bad. Then that's how it goes with every administration, so whatever. And I even checked Unusual Wales to see if anyone in Congress holds Norfolk Southern stock. And the only recent activity I saw there was Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey selling some stock back in April 2022. And the only purchases I saw were from Gary Palmer in 2017, John Rutherford in 2017, and Josh Gottheimer buying some in 2018. So nothing crazy there. Now, even though our wonderful politicians have deadlines to disclose trades, sometimes they just don't, or they do it way after the deadline, even months, and face no repercussions for it. So we may not know for a couple more months if anyone had any convenient buys or sells for Norfolk stock, but I'll keep an eye out on the whales. Now, just to answer some of the questions that I got on my Instagram story, are you all good? Are you Near East Palestine? So I live in Columbus, which is about 3 hours away from me, and as far as I know, I'm fine. Now, I've seen some of the graphics, and it looks like the air and water are going to, or already are, being affected like where I'm at, but all I can really do is use my Brita filter and keep my inhaler on me. But I'm good. Thanks for asking. I'm trying to look at organizations and options to see if I can direct some help from Monday Iron Gang to even something as simple as just like getting water to families there or something. Other question was, why do you think the CDC removed the paragraph about children on the VC page? So I'm trying to think about this because obviously the CDC can't be trusted. We've seen that over the last 3 to 4 years, but what I'm having trouble seeing is the incentive other than reducing panic, because this is a private company's fault, as far as we know. And I'm surprised that more people in power aren't being louder about like, see, capitalism bad, union good, regulation now. And the only mention I've seen of that was when Secretary of Transportation Pete shifted some of the blame to the Trump administration because of the deregulation of pneumatic brakes. That was one of the things that included, even though the Ohio derailment was found to be caused by a faulty axle. But chances are there were probably some other regulations removed that let companies get away with less maintenance or something. So again, everyone's probably guilty in some form. So other than trying to prevent a panic, I don't know why the CDC removed it from the front page. I don't see a scenario right now where that helps the government at all, or the CDC, but I'm sure something will be found where there's currently undisclosed financial incentives, or maybe someone's kid worked for the company, I don't know. Again, it's all just very strange. And if this video gets around to East Palestine, or someone that knows how Monday Iron Gang can help, please shoot an email, comments, DMs, Discord, whatever, just reach out. Because that's something that I wanted to do with the IG page for a while. Like, I liked how Barstool did the Barstool Fund for like the small local businesses while the government shut down businesses and said, hey, you can't work, figure it out. Sorry. Not even a sorry. What am I saying? And I don't want to put it in some black hole like the Red Cross or whatever. I'm sure they do fine work, but I want to make sure that almost all the money that gets sent out goes directly to helping the people in the actual area. So if you know an organization, please let me know. And there's still so much on this topic, but I'll keep you guys updated as things come out, as much as I can, you know, keep pumping videos out. But there is a guy, Nick Drum, on TikTok. I'll link his stuff in the description, that's been doing a great job of covering the EPA documents, backgrounds of people in charge. And it's a lot of information to take in, but he's really good. He has the knowledge about like what the train was actually carrying, chemical reaction. I think he had some sort of chemistry background. But really, really good guy to follow. I'll link his stuff in the description. But until then, I'll try to keep you guys updated. If you guys know any organizations or anything that we can actually help out the guys, help out the people in East Palestine, hit me up, Instagram, email, whatever. But until then, I will see you next time on Monday Iron Radio. See ya.